welcome into another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. You okay?
I'm just laughing at you.
What did I do?
You did music radio back in the day, right?
Uh-huh. For years.
You do the exact opposite of a music DJ. You wait till the vocals begin, then you start talking. And but we all get to enjoy the music intro of the song.
You want me to hit the post? I can hit the post.
Can you do it?
Oh, you're dang right. I
go.
Can hit the post.
Do it again.
Start that song over again.
Yeah, let's do this. This is inside baseball.
Because you're not supposed to start talking in talk radio until the music's playing for a minute. Whereas in music radio, you start talking as soon as the music starts playing so you can get out in time for the post.
I'm a little fresher coming out of music radio, so it's fresh in my head, right?
Hit it.
Okay,
hit it.
Go.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Certainly appreciate you listening today. Oh, I thought it was there.
No. So bad.
I don't know that song well enough. Yeah, I don't know
that. Everybody knows that song.
No, I guess I don't know it well enough to where the things hit. Anyway.
Apparently, you still had time to introduce.
I did hit a musical post there, though. I did hit the first music post there.
Okay.
Well, it's.
That's why you're.
If anybody hasn't figured it out yet, this is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
And that's why you're the talk legend you are today.
My name is Tony Colombo. That is Bo Matthews. And joining us in studio this week is Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, who joins us every week to start the show, but he's here with us today. Great to see you.
It is. It feels good to be back in studio.
Yes, it is good to have you back in studio.
I like this studio better than the one I've set up at the house.
Oh, yeah.
In the bathroom.
Producer Chad Ellis, of course, is here with us as well, and none of us have coronavirus yet, right? Oh, gosh, don't be doing that.
You know, the
don't
craziest thing, that. And not that we want to go deep into this, but for 16 days, 17 days, I've had a cold of some kind.
Yep.
You look at the CDC's symptoms of coronavirus. How do you tell? I have not had a fever,
high
so
fever.
That's yeah,
fever
so that's good.
The high fever is a big part of it.
Yeah, the big one.
Fake news.
Fake news.
And, just overreaction. Is that what you're thinking?
I definitely think it's overreaction. I definitely have witnessed a lot of people having like the symptoms because they all everybody's coughing.
This is a cold. Flu, pneumonia.
It's funny you guys
season.
Want to talk about cold and flu? I wrote a little. Deal. I'm tired of the BS around.
I actually have real coronavirus. I'm actually tying the coronavirus into this conversation for real. So that's where I was going. But go ahead.
So just real quick. I mean, there's a lot of misconception stuff. Like one of the things one of the guys around the firehouse was saying, it was, hey, you know, more people died from the flu than corona. And I said, well, you know, you're correct. 45 million people. This is numbers I pulled from CDC from this year's flu season. And their numbers ran through the end of February. They'll release March sometime in April. So 45 million people had the flu. 20,000 died. Mortality rate when you divide
is this
deaths,
worldwide or U.S.?
This is U.S.
Okay.
This is CDC was 0.11%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So then when you start looking at corona, 118,000, these numbers are a little old. This is from John Hopkins, and 4,200 people had died.
Yep.
And really, we've added more to that.
And it's like 3.5%.
It's like 3.6% mortality rate. So,
however, those coronavirus numbers are worldwide.
Worldwide,
and your flu numbers are from just the U.S. Because people were calling, I was talking about some numbers earlier this week on the Dave Glover Show, and people were saying, well, wait a minute, you know, the flu only kills 0.1% of the people, but that's in the United States. Worldwide flu numbers are a lot harder to gauge, but the numbers do kind of show that if you're going to go worldwide with the regular flu, you're looking at like a 2-3% death rate.
Sure.
Here in the United States, it's way lower because we have better medical care.
Yeah, we have vaccines and whatnot.
Yeah,
it is amazing. The medical care
It's hard to compare the coronavirus numbers and what we know about flu numbers because we're comparing worldwide stats to United States stats.
But
and there's not enough of enough cases in the United States of the coronavirus to really know.
And it's a new virus too.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're really looking at this as I'm just beat this horse to death and then we're done. We're moving on to talking guns because I'm tired of talking corona. But when you really look at this, the fear comes from not necessarily the high mortality rate. It's the fact that you've had governments around the world shutting cities and countries down. Like, stay in your house, don't come out, don't go to work.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to the grocery store, you're not going to go to the bar. So people are like, I'm going to have to shelter in place. The average American family has 3 days worth of food in their house.
Right.
Not our house.
It gets concerning that they're shutting down sporting leagues and events, NCAA and NBA.
And you've seen that in other countries where they've stopped these events and then they've shut down towns and cities and complete provinces, etc. So that's where the fear is getting driven from. And listen, I don't care what the infection rate is. The reality is, if we got scientists, we got politicians, and they don't talk very well, politicians are going to do what they want to do, even though scientists may say, hey, this really isn't that big of a deal. We've got better medical care here. The other little side note I'm going to get to, Bo, and I know you're chomping at the bit, is if we do have a massive outbreak here, the number of acute care beds that we have, when I say acute care, I'm talking like ICU beds, right?
Yeah.
People that really, really need therapies. Well, you already have the normal number of people coming into hospitals. We're getting ready to get into the asthma season here, where we're going to do a lot of breathing treatments on the ambulance. But and when you look at this, those people are going to go into the hospital. Then you're going to have people getting corona going to the hospital. They're going to be competing for the same airway drugs, the beta stimuluses. And then they're going to need fluids. And so we're going to have probably a shortage of IV fluids.
And IV bags. Yeah. Most IV bags come out of Italy, and now they're shut down. Mm-hmm. I did want to correct myself. The last I heard was NCAA was playing, but only in front of family and a few people.
Yeah, almost no fans.
Yeah.
I thought they canceled March Madness.
No, they're going to play the games. Last I heard was they're playing the games, but they're not playing in front of fans.
As of Thursday.
But the NBA is canceled.
The NBA is suspending all games, period. Not playing them.
SEC as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, that's my biggest fear is hospitals getting overloaded. And we could not handle 20 or 30,000 patients in St. Louis.
So here's why I brought coronavirus up in a gun talk is because I wanted to know from you, Aaron, at the shop, and then in industry wide, is coronavirus having an impact on the gun market?
Yep. We are hopping at the shop.
Okay. So it's not hurting it, it's helping it because of my prediction, and then correct me if I'm right or wrong. My prediction is when people think, oh, if we're all going to have to stay inside, I want to make sure that I'm going to protect myself in case things get weird.
So this comes up to another little side point, a little thing that I wrote, a little blog. You can kind of follow me on the socials with this. But I saw this, Be Like Bob meme. Have you guys seen this? It's like Be Like Bob.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Bob listens to scientists. Bob isn't panic buying. Yeah. Bob is going to be just fine. And I'm like, well, Aaron, and I did this whole, my wife's like, you cannot post this. I'm like, too late. So it was like, Aaron listens to scientists and reads scientific papers too. But Aaron realizes that, again, politicians will be politicians and they could shut down these cities. Aaron realizes that people only have 3 days worth of food in their house. And around day 5 to 7, they're going to either starve. And I tell you what, Tony, if you only had 3 days in your house, and you ran out of food at day 2, 3, 4, and your kids are starving, are you going to go start looking for food?
Of course.
Right. Well, whose house are you going to come to? Hopefully not Aaron's.
It's the biggest motivator on the planet.
Yeah.
Hunger is the biggest motivator. Yeah.
But so far, I don't think anybody's talking about closing grocery stores in the United States.
Well, they removed all the meat from Walmart. All those products out in Brentwood, it was like nothing there.
But you can still go to the store and buy food.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. You can't get toilet paper, so good luck with that.
No toilet paper, no wipes, no hand sanitizer.
We were in Costco, and when I saw this starting to kind of happen, I looked at my wife and I said, hey, I'm just going to do quick inventory around the house, kind of see a couple things that
I think that's okay. I think everybody should be doing that.
Some things we might need. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, probably want to pick up a case of toilet paper. Might want to pick up a case of paper towels. And we were down to 6 or 7 rolls. I was like, people are going to run on stuff. We drink flavored water. We have regular bottled water. Mm-hmm. I was like, so we might want to pick up an extra case of the flavored water. Normally we pick one up a week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, might get 2 this week. Mm-hmm. She's like, 2? I'm like, yes.
This is crazy.
We're going to buy one more. And then we normally go through about a case of regular water a week too. And I was like, probably want to go ahead and pick up 4 of those.
Mm-hmm.
4. I'm like, yes. Where are we going to put them? I'm like, put them under the pool table. I don't care.
So what's been the impact at the shop and in the gun industry? Is it people buying guns and ammo, or is it people coming? They're saying I need to get my conceal and carry. Yeah. It's all of it.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people coming to the shop. Hey, do you guys do that CCW class? Like, yeah, we sure do.
I want it now.
And we got a class coming up on the 21st. So you got time to get in and register. You can register online at southernarmory.com.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
And then, so you can register there. Well done. You can come in. You can do some private training classes with us. I've got one today, this afternoon. And so, I mean, we're just kind of rolling with it, you know. And but
do you have people coming in for cases of ammo?
Yeah, we sell cases anyway. But yeah, people are coming in and, you know, going, oh, you know, I'm not going to buy like the typical one or two boxes to go to the range. They're buying like four or five. They're buying hollow points, etc. What's interesting is, and I kind of noticed this, and I had to explain this to my wife. She's like, we've had a lot of Asian people in the shop lately. I said, yeah, not surprising. She's like, well, why do you not think that's surprising? I said, well, you know, if you look back at like L.A. during the L.A. riots from
early 90s,
from King, they were hitting the Asian population pretty hard. And because there was some disparity between the African-American community and the Korean community or something. I don't know. I watched this documentary on it and I said, you know, people are really kind of geared up and blaming the Asian realm, you know, China, etc.
A lot of xenophobic people.
Uber drivers are the. If there was an Uber driver story where they came to pick up somebody, and they got in the car and it happened to be an Asian person, and the Asian person, the driver said, "I'm so thankful that you didn't cancel this ride once you saw me because people are doing that." I think it was a story in Vegas.
Yeah, and so that's
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what's going on, and it's like
it's xenophobic. Yeah. Like, I mean, they found out it happened. The origin of the virus is here, China, so they're going to say, okay, anybody of this
and
type
I think
of
people
descent,
would do that
we're going to stay away
if
from.
It was anything. If it was Mexican Australian or Mexican or Italian or German, or if it started in Tennessee and they find out, like, oh, you're from Tennessee? I don't want to be around you. Like, I think it's wherever it starts is going to be a panic around that type of person.
So,
no matter who that type of person is.
Even though the King beatings were decades ago.
It's still kind of in the
Yeah, I think that they're saying that, hey, you know, we could get retaliation against this, even though, and so, I've got friends that are from China.
Well, that's dumb. I hope that's not a real thing.
Yeah, I do too. I'm right with you. But we are seeing them gear up like crazy. I shouldn't say like crazy, but you know, definitely
but you're
a lot.
Saying it. Yeah.
You know, not the normal population is coming in the shop. Yesterday, like three or four times, and I was in back working on guns a lot of the day, and but the times that I poked my head up because I heard the door open several times in a row, I said, I'll go up front, make sure Jess is okay and they don't need nothing. It was not the typical gun buyers in the shop.
You're seeing more of just the regular folk that's not necessarily in the gun industry, but thinking to themselves, things might be getting weird. I need to get a gun.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bo.
In 2004, I was in Orlando when three hurricanes in a few weeks went over the whole state. And I'll tell you, you get that survivalist mental attitude.
Absolutely.
And,
very quickly.
And you know, the price gouging is one thing, but you think about, okay, what if... Heck, what if the internet gets shut off? We had internet... you can't communicate.
I can.
If you don't have the internet...
I can. Me and my wife both can.
How?
I'm N0APT, and she's KE0SGR. We'll be on the UHF
radio.
Oh, you're talking ham radio?
Bands. Absolutely.
Oh, well, okay. So there's a few people that...
I'll be talking to my buddies out on the West Coast, East Coast, contacts I've got around the world.
I know a lot of guys like you. I'm just saying...
It'll be in communication.
Not a big deal.
You have a cell outage or a Wi-Fi outage, and we freak out nowadays because everything's on there.
It would be mass panic.
The banking is, you know, you can't get to your money, all these things. Right. So... I think stocking up on ammo is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
I have, you know, ammo for each one of my guns, but I don't have a lot for each one.
I can fix that, Bo.
I know you can.
Okay.
So let's do this. Let's take a break, and then when we get back, I want to change the subject, and I want to get into some of the election stuff, and I want to get Aaron's reaction to Joe Biden and his interaction with the auto worker in Michigan.
I'm getting me an AR-14. I don't know what it is, but I hear it's one less deadly than an AR-15.
Surrounding the Second Amendment and that issue that happened. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. Also, coming up a little bit later in the show, Bo, we have a youth fishing league that's coming on. If you can...
Yeah, it, you know, it's actually kind of cool. It's it's a National Youth Fishing Association, and they're out of Springfield, Missouri. Both Missouri and Illinois are included, but there are two different leagues, and they're in our area. So we're going to talk with the crew that is putting that together, because they're going to be starting up here in a couple of weeks. And if you're not going to be in on your screens in the house, maybe you want to take your kids fishing.
Yeah, very good stuff. So we've got a lot to talk about here. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
You're set up.
Chad didn't even have the microphone on for me to hit the post. It's not my fault this time.
You were
time.
Practicing in your head. I know you were.
This is not a music station.
Exactly,
we're not gonna start
Chad.
That jargon.
That's exactly right. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis. And joining us in studio for the entire show today is our friend Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. And as I mentioned in that last segment, I wanted to get into a discussion in this segment about one of the biggest news stories of this past week. Joe Biden, who now appears to be the very clear front runner in the Democratic
I thought it was like primary. Official. I thought they said like he's the man now.
I don't think it's official. I think it's it's definitely obviously going that way, but yeah, okay. But as long as Bernie's hanging around, I guess anything can happen.
Yeah.
So he appears to be the guy that is going to be the Democratic nominee for president, which means there's a chance that he becomes president. He did something last week that you and I talked about when you called in at the beginning of the show last week that was concerning to many Second Amendment folks. When he put Beto O'Rourke on his team, Beto O'Rourke was Mr. I'm going to go door to door and get the guns. And
sounds deadly.
Yeah. And that when he was running for president, that was
all,
kind of his thing.
For all parties involved.
Joe Biden has said, I'm going to put you in charge of gun laws, of common sense gun reform if I become president. So that is very concerning. And then this week, Joe Biden has a one-on-one confrontation with an auto worker in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This auto worker accuses
a union auto worker.
Yeah, right. You would think he was in very friendly territory with the union. I think he thought he was in.
Yeah, he thinks it. Yeah,
he thought he was in friendly waters, and I don't think he was expecting that to happen. So this auto worker says, you're against the Second Amendment. I have a problem with that. Joe Biden says, no, I'm in full support of the Second Amendment. However, actions seem to be opposed to that.
Yeah.
What did you think of that interaction and the way that Joe Biden handled it?
Super presidential.
At voters.
Let me start with that. That was super super presidential.
Yeah, he's cursing at people.
The reality is that that guy was not going to vote for Joe Biden anyway.
That's true.
I will. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, it's like people.
But
that,
he was right. I mean, But he was.
Yeah.
The issue that he had with Joe Biden
is a valid one.
Is a valid issue. Yeah.
Absolutely valid. At least in my eyes, other people would disagree. So, but with that being said, you know, they weren't going to vote for one another anyway, so they weren't going to get anywhere. It's kind of like people that are anti-gun. Why do I need to win them over? They're not going to come in the shop and purchase stuff. With all that being said, it's concerning, but I don't think that union worker is alone. I know a lot of guys in a lot of unions just because of what I do and people that I know. And I tell you what, you know, IAFF, even though they're officially supporting it, when you look at their page, you know, for Democrats for president, et cetera, there's only a couple thousand members. And then you look at the IAFF members for Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, you know, like 100-fold, like more of us in there. So it's just, and then I got buddies that are in Carpenters Union, Laborers Union, Boilermakers, Pipe Fitters, you know, et cetera. Even a few buddies in UAW. And
I've said many times, just in political discussions in general, if the Republicans could find a way to make friends with the unions,
absolutely,
it would be an absolute game changer. Because a lot of those union guys, like I know that, and you know, have a lot of very conservative Republican beliefs when it comes to the military and Second Amendment rights, but they feel like they are voting against their paycheck if they vote for a Republican.
And it's funny is a lot of them I know are closet Republican voters. In the primaries, like I have one buddy, he's a union guy. He works at a Chevy dealership. He's a customer, and on Facebook on voting day, he goes, "Well, I went and casted my vote, you know, Democrat. And now I feel dirty." And I was like, what? Like, I was like, hold on a minute. Like, what's going on here? He's like, oh, well, you know, in the general elections, I always vote Republican. But in, you know, primary stuff, I vote Democrat and how I'm told.
Yeah, I had a friend do the same thing. Went in, asked for the Democratic ballot, and he voted for Biden. No, he voted for Bernie because he's looking ahead to the matchup between Trump and the nominee.
Yeah.
Back to this argument, or this, the confrontation with Biden, or as he's known as O'Biden, with Biden the auto worker. And Biden says he supports the Second Amendment, but yet he's picking Beto O'Rourke to be the gun czar, probably, is what they'll use the term.
Yep.
But that is exactly what the Second Amendment is written for. It's a tyrannical government. If they come door to door and they take your weapons, take hunting off the table. Take personal security off the table.
Yeah.
Except against a tyrannical government, and that's exactly what that would be. So the interesting part about that to me is when Biden says he could take this outside.
Yeah.
You are 78 years old.
Yeah, you're not going to fare well against a 9mm.
That is verbal assault anyway. Yeah. It's a verbal threat.
Yeah.
And if it would have happened in reverse, the guy said, I want to take... Guess what? He would be locked up right now.
Or imagine if it was Trump that was cussing at a voter like that.
You know, I don't think Trump would ever do that. The guy's got class.
And he has some. He can be diplomatic when he can. But here's the thing with him. When he goes after somebody, he usually goes, if they're not a politician, he'll go after a group of people and talk to or about that group of people, as opposed to calling somebody out and saying, let's take this outside.
Yeah.
That is 18-year-old dumb, drunk bar brawl stuff.
Yeah, that is high school.
And he's 78.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Break a hip, dude. You're not going to recover very well.
It's rough.
What about the argument that Joe Biden tries to make when he says, look, I'm for the second. Let's take him at his word, which I don't think any of us are. But for the sake of this discussion,
how do you tell a politician's lying?
Right when he's opening his mouth, when he's talking.
Mouth is moving.
But let's take him at his word and say that he is a supporter of the Second Amendment. He just doesn't think that you need to have a 100-round magazine,
and that's how his
or you want to
stances.
Have as much. You're right. So what's your answer to that, Aaron? When somebody says, look, I don't care if you have a gun to protect your house. I'm all for that. But why do you need Why do you need 500 rounds? It's not going to take 500 rounds to protect yourself if somebody breaks in your house. So what is wrong with that? I mean, I know the answer is playing devil's advocate, obviously. But what is wrong with saying I support the Second Amendment? I just don't think that you need a automatic or semi-automatic weapon or 100 rounds.
Well, so now you're taking away my personal decision, right? So, you know, maximum liberty to the people. It wasn't delegated to the federal government. If you really want to go like strict constitutionals, it was never delegated to the federal government for them to decide what I'm allowed to defend myself with. And if it was, I'm waiting on those tools, right? I went out and bought the vehicle I needed to, you know, have, right? You know, I got a wife and a daughter. I need something with four doors, right? We've got a trailer we towed for gun shows. I needed a pickup truck that was heavy duty enough to haul a 10,000 plus pound trailer, right? Otherwise, it would just be cookie cutter. We don't live in a communist nation, right? So that's the primary argument is it's not in there for you to delegate this, right?
As long as I'm not breaking any laws, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I can make my decisions.
And that's the libertarian view, you know, that is, hey, I'm not interfering with anybody. You don't interfere with me. We're not going to have any issues. And that's kind of my other viewpoint was what harm does that 30-round magazine have? You're also making up arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you are. I mean, I agree with that. It's we had a mass shooting and he used 10-round magazines after we banned the 30-rounders. So now we need to look at what New York State has done with the New York Safe Act, and we've got to reduce everything down to 6 rounds or less.
And let me just clarify.
The whole industry at that point.
If the Sandy Hook shooter did not have access to a weapon, he would have created mayhem with something.
Yeah.
Whether it's fire or a machete or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's
or
about
he'd have found a different gun that he could have gotten his hands on. He just would have drove
through a crowd of kids walking out to the bus.
It's about mental health.
Yeah.
It's about mental health.
And it's about bad guys being bad guys.
Yes, yes.
So, but yeah, it's arbitrary. It's all arbitrary. And that's the way I look at this. You know, I mean, if you're using an M1 Grand versus, you know, an AR-15, You know, one's got 8 rounds, one has, you know, technically whatever type of capacity you want. You want to talk about, oh, let's just ban magazines. Well, I mean, you got belt-fed stuff. I've got some belt-fed stuff. Man, it's great. You know, it's a good way to spend a lot of money, you know. I don't use it very often. Same thing with machine guns.
Well, and,
machine
I mean,
guns,
I've, every skeet shoot I've ever been to or turkey
loading,
shoot
loading
or just
one at a
or
time.
Just target practice, you know, just having fun shooting at targets at my buddy's farm, we go through way more than 100 rounds. We need, you know, you when yeah. you're and
well,
just
you're talking about purchasing limits. That's a whole nother that's a whole nother story,
right?
But yeah, I mean, you know, when you shoot trap and you go down to, you know, hinges and you shoot, you know, like five stand or something, you're only loading, you know, one round at a time and you're moving stations.
Right.
When you are shooting trap and you got two birds that are going to come out, you're going to load 2 rounds, maybe 3 rounds. So you know, I mean, there's, you know, different facets to this, but you know, for home defense. You know, I mean, why wouldn't you want a 6-round shotgun or an 8-round shotgun or get the mini shells where you can have double the capacity of the standard, you know, 6 rounds. So, you know, again, it's just, you know, you do what's best for you. I think the government should stay out of it. Now, I mean, maybe there's things that they need to regulate, but, you know, I don't want people going, hey, I need a flamethrower or a tank. You know, I think, you know, you could have probably some issues with that, even though flamethrowers are really cool, you know, and they've
Elon Musk made a million off of selling those things too.
Yeah. And they've got like the miniature ones out there, which are really super neat, but they're nowhere near like the World War II ones that you do find out there that are destructive devices.
So that's Aaron Tarlow, owner of Southern Armory. He's sticking around for the entire show. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to a youth fishing league. I can't wait to have that discussion, talk about something fun and the great outdoors. The sun is out later in the day, and fishing, the full fishing season is right around the corner, although guys like Mike Marfell would tell you that it never ended.
Yeah.
And I love that. Before we take this break, though, well, what's happening at Southern Armory? Tell folks what's going on.
So a bunch of classes gearing up. The simulator's getting used a ton. So we did some church security training a few weeks ago. I kind of mentioned that on the air, and that went really well. We're doing a second session for those guys. So if you've got a church that you're kind of interested in getting some firearms training for, we've got the simulator's just packed full of stuff for that topic, and then we can offer some additional live fire training as well. And then if you want to learn how to put on tourniquets and kind of do like the mass casualty stop the bleed stuff, whether it's your church or just you personally, you can come chat with me, and I can get you set up with that, being a paramedic. Also, if you want a CPR card, first aid card, I'm a AHA instructor for that. So that's all those things. You can just call the gun shop or send us a message online saying, hey, I want to know more about firearms training or first aid training, etc., and we'll get you set up, get you taken care of. Other than that, man, the shop is, you know, it's getting pounded. Wholesalers
good.
Right now are 3 days out from shipping. So we, you know, we stack our orders. We ship about one a week from each wholesaler, one every 10 days, and we went and submitted a bunch of stuff through, and they were like, it's going to be like 3 days before we even get to it. My wife's like, well, my husband will just run over and grab it, and they're like, no, it'll be 3 days before it's even picked. We're that backed up. So we were like, huh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want that firearm, you know, we're getting into kind of the USPSA, IDPA season or whatever, so if you need cases of ammunition, if you want to upgrade your sights or whatever, get into the shop, get those things ordered now.
Yep.
Realize, you know, they're not going to be real quick. It's going to be 3-4 days longer than what we would normally expect. So we're going to adapt on that a little bit and kind of bulk up. And then once this whole corona thing settles down, it'll be back to the normal. It'll be here in about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
If we don't already have it on hand. So other than that, you can come in and get your reloading stuff from us. We got plenty of reloading stuff. So if you can't find the ammunition you want and you want to roll your own, you can do that. Ammunition, as far as that goes, still got some of the odd caliber stuff in. The common stuff we've got too, we're just rolling through it a little quicker. So got our Glock stocking dealer program in. That sold out like instantly. I was pretty surprised. My wife's like, yeah, we sold every Glock 19 we had in store, and then all the ones we had on order coming
wow.
in. And I was like, really? And, you know, just kind of put this in perspective, Glock 19s get sold 10 of Glock 19 versus one of any other model. So, kind of an interesting little fun fact. So, Glock 19, if you're new to shooting, that would be a good gun to get. You'll definitely enjoy it. Yeah, other than that, classes are still rolling on. Simulator, book it. Special orders are always welcome. And
where can they find you?
Suppressors.
Suppressors still got the pretty tight turnaround,
yep,
so get
quick
it.
Turnaround, so yep. you can get on those pretty quick. I brought one in today to talk about, but, you know, Corona. So
next week,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's better when you got the visual. But, yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory. You can find my personal stuff on Second Amendment News Podcast. We've got cool podcasts that are rolling. Right now, I've got to have so many together before they'll let me put it on, like Apple and stuff like that. So once I hit about that, they say three, I'm going to hit about five or six. We'll go live on there, and cool, we'll crunk out about one or two every week. We're still going to continue the vlog on there. It'll just be kind of a maybe an after the deal or a little side note. But yeah, SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And of course, all the socials. And I love interacting with people on the socials.
Yep.
So yeah, come over and join it, and get on our newsletter too. So we're going to be spitting
definitely
out those
and definitely
and
check out that Facebook page, like Aaron said, with the suppressor that he brought in today that we didn't get too much time to talk about. You can see that stuff on the videos that he does on the Second Amendment or on the Southern Armory Facebook page. So make sure you go and check that out. Aaron's going to stick around. You should too. We're going to talk to the folks of the Youth Fishing League. When we get back, don't go anywhere. Listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hello and welcome back into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with Bo Matthews, of course, our producer Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory sticking around for one more. In just a minute, we are going to get the guys from the National Youth Fishing Association into the conversation with us. I want to remind you that we're actually going to continue that conversation on our podcast exclusive this week. So as you guys hopefully have discovered at this point, we put out two podcasts for you every week. One is the show, which we actually make available before the show airs. The show podcast we release every Friday morning, so you can download it before the weekend and take it with you. If you're enjoying the great outdoors, you can listen to this show anytime you want. And then on Mondays, we release our podcast exclusive, a second podcast that you can only get there through the various podcast places. The best place to get our podcast, I think, is the radio.com app, which is free to download. You favorite the radio station and you have everything. You can stream the station 24/7, use the radio rewind, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Again, all absolutely free. So make sure you are checking out those podcasts. And since we're going to be talking about fishing here in a minute, fishing is a part of the great outdoors. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors, it's
brought to you by Razorback Armory. They're a full service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Find them online at RazorbackArmory.com on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270 on the south side of it. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Mm-hmm. And now, as I mentioned, let's bring Eric Vandeven and Gary Holleran into the conversation right now. This is near and dear to my heart. As you guys know, I am a avid fisherman. I love to get out. I'm so excited that the sun is out later now, and we're going to be able to get some warmer weather and get back on the water. And Eric and Gary are working with the National Youth Fishing Association. I hope I got that right. And guys, thanks for joining us today. I hope you guys are well, and I'll let you guys explain exactly what the organization is all about and what you guys do.
Well, super. Thanks for having us on, and man, I'm glad that the spring warm rains are upon us.
Yeah, no kidding.
Put a little water in those lakes, and we get to go fishing. So the National Youth Fishing Association, Eric and I, and many other teams from across not only Missouri but Illinois, put together a tournament trail for the high school fishing anglers. It's actually opened up for middle school and high schoolers to fish. And our first tournament is coming up here in just another weekend, March 22nd.
Nice. How and off the air, we were talking for a minute, and you were talking about how this is a growing situation. This is a growing industry that we're seeing more and more people and young people getting involved in fishing. Why is that, do you think? I mean, I think it's wonderful, but why are we seeing that happening right now? And are you guys seeing that impacted in your in the association there?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things going on. First of all, you know, we finally are able to have an organized fishing event for this age group, right? So there's always been dominated with basketball and football and other sports activities. for the middle school and high school is we were able to finally put some resources behind getting a tournament trail kicked off for this particular age group. And the high school and collegiate fastest growing sport in America right now is the sport of bass fishing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the coolest thing about that is it's really because I'm not like I feel like I was born in the wrong era, right? I wish they would have had high school bass fishing when I was in high school.
Amen.
But it's I'm just so grateful to see our kids returning to God's great outdoors and being able to experience what just 3 seconds can, you know, it only takes 3 seconds to get a bite, and it can be a life-changing moment for these kids to put a big smile on their face and to see them light up as they enjoy this style of competition.
Ain't that the truth? We're talking with Gary Holleran and Eric Vandeven of the National Youth Fishing Association. Hey, Eric, if you could explain the two different types of teams that you guys put out there.
So we have our high school teams, and then we have the junior teams. But there's also another. It's a TBA. It's a pro team association. So that's where the captain of the boat gets to fish with the boys, or the fishermen, I should say, because we do have females also. So there's that one day set aside for just the youth fishing, where only they're allowed to fish. Captain's along for support, where we drive the boat, we help them land the fish, we're allowed to tie baits on, help them weigh the fish and stuff, and then the other day we get to join in the fun with them. So,
and Gary, can you talk about the scholarship money that you guys have been able to award since you guys have started?
Yes. So every event, so during the course of the season, the tournament trail has three events that people are competing for and are accumulating points to go towards being able to compete in the national event. So the national event is the biggest payout of the year, but each event has different scholarships. And what's really, really interesting about the National Fishing Association, how they have this set up, you can also get scholarship money by writing an essay. So we want our kids to perform not only on the water and in this great sport of bass fishing, but we also want them to be good student athletes as well. So if they write in every tournament has a different topic. Each team, so two kids on a boat, so two kids are on a team. Each team can submit two different essays. The essays can be like one page long, it can be multiple paragraphs long. And if they win, both anglers get the scholarship money. So you get not only scholarship money for participating in the event as far as winning, and each event has those top prizes, but you also can win just by putting a pen to a piece of paper and talking about, you know, why you love the great sport of bass fishing or whatever the topic is for that event.
So if people want to get their kids involved in this, what's the best way to get more information, get themselves signed up, and what exactly are the beginning age and, you know, the end of the program age? Where's that window, and how do people get signed up?
Sure. So fifth grade all the way through graduating high school, so all the way up through senior, can participate. The best thing, depending on where your listener is at, is to check out with their local high school and see if they already have a program established or a club established. Mm-hmm. If not, they can always call or reach out to Eric and I. We'd love to have additional kids on our team. We talked earlier about the growth. Last year we had 5 teams, so we basically had 10 anglers on our team. This year we've already doubled our size, and it seems like every time we have a team meeting or a team practice that we get more kids to show up. So it's growing. It's growing well. And just by going on to your website or going on to your computer, the National Youth Fishing Association, you can get all the details there. It lines out the whole tournament season for both Missouri and Illinois. Talks about all the scholarships, how to get involved, even as basic as how to start a club. Just like what is the first steps is all in that website.
That's great stuff. And how has the participation with the schools been? Are schools very eager to start these teams? Does it seem like something that they are embracing, or has it been some pushback because of like the challenges of starting a fishing team?
So we're out here in Imperial, we're with Seckman High School.
Yeah.
And We do not get much support from our high school. We actually started a club. The school allows us to use their name, and they have done a little advertising for us, which is great. But they've got so much on their hands right now with all the sports going that they don't have the time or the resources for this. That's why we stepped in and started. It's actually Seckman Jags Fishing is the name of our club. And we run on our own. We're self-sufficient. We do fundraisers and stuff to raise money to help out with the costs and stuff. That's what our club's about, trying to help these kids get out there and enjoy fishing and stuff. So
great stuff. And as I mentioned, these guys are going to be sticking around. Eric and Gary are going to be joining us on the podcast exclusive. We're going to continue this conversation. So if you're interested in this, please make sure you're downloading that podcast every week. We release the two podcasts, as I mentioned earlier, one on Fridays and one on Monday. And we're going to keep talking about the National Youth Fishing Association on the podcast exclusive. Make sure you look up the National Youth Fishing Association on the internet if you want to get more information. And we're going to continue talking with Eric Vandeven and Gary Holleran on the podcast, so make sure you are listening to that. Make sure you're downloading those podcasts every week on the radio.com app. It's absolutely free to download the app, and then you can stream the station 24/7, use the Radio Rewind, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Big thank you to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory for being in studio with us today. SouthernArmory.com and Southern Armory on Facebook. Make sure you're checking that out. And for my co-host, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Yeah, other than that, classes are still rolling on. Simulator, book it. Special orders are always welcome. And
where can they find you?
Suppressors.
Suppressors still got the pretty tight turnaround, so get
quick it.
Quick
turnaround, so you can get on those pretty quick. I brought one in today to talk about, but, you know, Corona.
Next week for sure.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's better when you got the visual. But, you can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory. You can find my personal stuff on Second Amendment News Podcast. We've got podcasts that are rolling. Right now, I've got to have so many together before they'll let me put it on, like Apple and stuff like that. So once I hit about that, they say three, I'm going to hit about five or six. We'll go live on there, and we'll crunk out about one or two every week. We're still going to continue the vlog on there. It'll just be kind of maybe an after the deal or a little side note. But SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And of course, all the socials. And I love interacting with people on the socials.
Yep.
So, yeah, come over and join it, and get on our newsletter, too. So we're going to be spitting out those.
Definitely. And definitely check out that Facebook page, like Aaron said, with the suppressor that he brought in today that we didn't get too much time to talk about. You can see that stuff on the videos that he does on the Second Amendment, or on the Southern Armory Facebook page. So make sure you go and check that out. Aaron's going to stick around. You should, too. We're going to talk to the folks of the Youth Fishing League. When we get back, don't go anywhere. Listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hello and welcome back into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with Bo Matthews, of course, our producer Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory sticking around for one more. In just a minute, we are going to get the guys from the National Youth Fishing Association into the conversation with us. I want to remind you that we're actually going to continue that conversation on our podcast exclusive this week. So as you guys hopefully have discovered at this point, we put out two podcasts for you every week. One is the show, which we actually make available before the show airs. The show podcast we release every Friday morning, so you can download it before the weekend and take it with you. If you're enjoying the great outdoors, you can listen to the show anytime you want. And then on Mondays, we release our podcast exclusive, a second podcast that you can only get there through the various podcast places. The best place to get our podcast, I think, is the radio.com app, which is free to download. You favorite the radio station and you have everything. You can stream the station 24/7, use the Radio Rewind, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Again, all absolutely free, so make sure you are checking out those podcasts. And since we're going to be talking about fishing here in a minute, fishing is a part of the great outdoors. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors, Outdoors. It's
brought to you by Razorback Armory. They're a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Find them online at RazorbackArmory.com on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270 on the south side of it. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Mm-hmm. And now, as I mentioned, let's bring Eric Vandeven and Gary Holleran into the conversation right now. This is near and dear to my heart. As you guys know, I am a avid fisherman. I love to get out. I'm so excited that the sun is out later now, and we're going to be able to get some warmer weather and get back on the water. And Eric and Gary are working with the National Youth Fishing Association. I hope I got that right. And guys, thanks for joining us today. I hope you guys are well, and I'll let you guys explain exactly what the organization is all about and what you guys do.
Well, super. Thanks for having us on, and man, I'm glad that the spring warm rains are upon us.
Yeah, no kidding.
Put a little water in those lakes, and we get to go fishing. So the National Youth Fishing Association, Eric and I, and many other teams from across not only Missouri but Illinois, put together a tournament trail for the high school fishing anglers. It's actually opened up for middle school and high schoolers to fish. And our first tournament is coming up here in just another weekend, March 22nd.
Nice. How and off the air, we were talking for a minute, and you were talking about how this is a growing situation. This is a growing industry that we're seeing more and more people and young people getting involved in fishing. Why is that, do you think? I mean, I think it's wonderful, but why are we seeing that happening right now? And are you guys seeing that impacted in your in the association there?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things going on. First of all, we finally are able to have an organized fishing event for this age group, right? So there's always been dominated with basketball and football and other sports activities for the middle school and high schoolers. We were able to finally put some resources behind getting a tournament trail kicked off for this particular age group. And the high school and collegiate fastest growing sport in America right now is the sport of bass fishing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the coolest thing about that is it's really because I'm not, like, I feel like I was born in the wrong era, right? I wish they would have had high school bass fishing when I was in high school.
Amen.
But it's, I'm just so grateful to see our kids returning to God's great outdoors and being able to experience what just 3 seconds can, you know, it only takes 3 seconds to get a bite, and it can be a life-changing moment for these kids to put a big smile on their face and to see them light up as they enjoy this style of competition.
Ain't that the truth? We're talking with Gary Holleran and Eric Vandeven of the National Youth Fishing Association. Hey, Eric, if you could explain the two different types of teams that you guys put out there.
So we have our high school teams, and then we have the junior teams. But there's also another, it's a TBA. It's a pro team association. So that's where the captain of the boat gets to fish with the boys, or the fishermen, I should say, because we do have females also. So, there's not one day set aside for just the youth fishing where only they're allowed to fish. Captain's along for support where we drive the boat. We help them land the fish. We're allowed to tie baits on, help them weigh the fish and stuff. And then the other day, we get to join in the fun with them. So,
and Gary, can you talk about the scholarship money that you guys have been able to award since you guys have started?
Yes. So every event, so during the course of a season, the tournament trail has three events that people are competing for in our accumulating points to go towards being able to compete in the national event. So the national event is the biggest payout of the year, but each event has different scholarships. And what's really, really interesting about the National Fishing Association, how they have this set up, you can also get scholarship money by writing an essay. So we want our kids to perform not only on the water and in this great sport of bass fishing, we also want them to be good student athletes as well. So if they write in every tournament has a different topic, each team, so two kids on a boat, so two kids are on a team, Each team can submit two different essays. The essays can be like one page long. It can be multiple paragraphs long. And if they win, both anglers get the scholarship money. So you get not only scholarship money for participating in the event as far as winning, and each event has those top prizes, but you also can win just by putting a pen to a piece of paper and talking about, you know, why you love the great sport of bass fishing or whatever the topic is for that event.
So if people want to get their kids involved in this, what's the best way to get more information, get themselves signed up, and what exactly are the beginning age and, you know, the end of the program age? Where's that window, and how do people get signed up?
Sure. So fifth grade all the way through graduating high school, so all the way up through senior, can participate. The best thing, depending on where your listener is at, is to check out with their local high school and see if they already have a program established or a club established. Mm-hmm. If not, they can always call or reach out to Eric and I. We'd love to have additional kids on our team. We talked earlier about the growth. Last year, we had five teams, so we basically had 10 anglers on our team. This year, we've already doubled our size, and it seems like every time we have a team meeting or a team practice that we get more kids to show up. So it's growing. It's growing well. And just by going on to your website or going on to your computer, the National Youth Fishing Association, you can get all the details there. It lines out the whole tournament season for both Missouri and Illinois. Talks about all the scholarships, how to get involved, even as basic as how to start a club. Just like what is the first steps is all in that website.
That's great stuff. And how has the participation with the schools been? Are schools very eager to start these teams? Does it seem like something that they are embracing, or has it been some pushback because of like the challenges of starting a fishing team?
So we're out here in Imperial. We're with Seckman High School.
Yeah.
And we do not get much support from our high school. We actually started a club. The school allows us to use their name, and they have done a little advertising for us, which is great. But they've got so much on their hands right now with all the sports going that they don't have the time or the resources for this. That's why we stepped in and started. It's actually Seckman Jags Fishing is the name of our club. And we run on our own. We're self-sufficient. We do fundraisers and stuff to raise money to help out with the costs and stuff. That's what our club's about, trying to help these kids get out there and enjoy fishing and stuff. So
great stuff. And as I mentioned, these guys are going to be sticking around. Eric and Gary are going to be joining us on the podcast exclusive. We're going to continue this conversation. So if you're interested in this, please make sure you're downloading that podcast every week. We release the two podcasts, as I mentioned earlier, one on Fridays and one on Monday. And we're going to keep talking about the National Youth Fishing Association on the podcast exclusive. Make sure you look up the National Youth Fishing Association on the internet if you want to get more information. And we're going to continue talking with Eric Vandeven and Gary Holleran on the podcast, so make sure you are listening to that. Make sure you're downloading those podcasts every week on the radio.com app. It's absolutely free to download the app, and then you can stream the station 24/7, use the Radio Rewind, and download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Big thank you to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory for being in studio with us today. SouthernArmory.com and Southern Armory on Facebook. Make sure you're checking that out. And for my co-host, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.